Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message.
Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 8 is where I'm starting today's message. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, this chapter 11, and we've been going down each verse. So shameless plug for those of you who want to know what we're going to be teaching about for a few months, just go ahead and read Hebrews 11, because that's where we're going to be parking. Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 8 says this. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Someone say obeyed. It's a hard word for us to say. I mean, it's an easy word for us to say. It's hard for us to do. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And I want to teach to some of you today who don't know where you're going. You're moving, but you don't know where you're going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For Abraham was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. The Lord told me to tell you all these words today. Stick to the plan and walk it out. There are many of you all right now, the baby's already feeling it. Baby got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, praise God for the filling of the Holy Ghost of the babies. But many of you all right now, if you would be honest, and I try to change this title many times, but there are many of you all who you'll be honest, your January, you started the first few weeks like, yeah, I'm excited, I'm motivated, and it's great, and all these different things, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna conquer this, and all these different things, and you had vision board parties, and all these different things. But now you're at February, and you're like, 2020 is not my year. And you're just in the second month, and you are already talking yourself out of what you said you were going to do. Can we be real honest real quick? There's nobody here but me and you. And be real honest to say that you have already had a conversation with yourself, no one else, about how difficult this thing really is. You said I'm gonna do it, but you're like, I didn't know it was gonna be that hard. I didn't know I was gonna have that much opposition. But I'm gonna tell you this, if you look at your journey naturally, you will always be discouraged spiritually. Say it again. If you look at your journey naturally, you will always be discouraged spiritually. If you keep looking through a natural lens at what God has called you to do, and I believe everyone in this room is called to do something. For those of you who feel like you don't know what your purpose is and you don't know what God has called you to do, is maybe because you have not had a relationship with the Father. Because the Father will withhold no good thing from those who love him. And if you have a relationship with him, he will reveal his purpose to you. But many of us, can I be honest? Many of us struggle with this word, and it's going to be a cuss word to many of you. The word is called process. We want the promise, but we don't want the process. Give me what is mine without having me work for it. Give me deliverance without me having to make a choice. Give me healing without me having to alter my diet. We want all these different things, but we don't want the process. We want to do all these different things, and we have all these different things that we're believing God for, and we keep wanting God to do what he wants us to do. And if we are really honest, we're not upset with God. We're really upset with ourselves. Because every year or every season around this time, we have something to blame why we haven't moved forward. Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 8 says this. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he had received as an inheritance. For many of you right now, the struggle with you, and it's not that God hasn't called you, but hear this right there. Don't miss it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was what? Called. To do what? What? He, hold on. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was what? To do what? That's where many of you stopped. He called you, but you didn't go out. Oh, Lord. Y'all want to shout again? That's why I love to shout, because it prepares your heart. Gets you ready. In the old church, we would say it tills the ground. But that's what many of us are. We have I got a call, but you won't go nowhere. It's the equivalency of someone calling you on your iPhone or your Android or whatever you got, and you keep pushing block. Or it's on airplane mode. And you say, I see it ringing, but I don't feel like answering it. Abraham had to obey, and he was called to go out of the place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing. How many of us can be honest right now by showing of hands? If you don't know where you're going, you're not going. Come on, just truthfully. Don't talk about spiritually. You, as I, many, myself included, I want everything. Tell me A, B, C, D. Tell me how it's going to work. There's something the Lord is challenging me to do right now, and I want to know what's on the other side of it already. I'm like, I know what you told me to do, but can you at least give me a glimpse of what it's going to look like when I actually obey like that? And you know how God works. He tells you next when you do first.
That's right.
You make the first step. He'll do the rest. But you can't get the next step until you make the first step. And there are many of us like me who have anxiety of what we don't know. Can I be real honest? Many of us just don't know, and the not knowing is what confuses us. I love Jesus, and I love, and like many of us, for some of you, you love church and you love praise because you don't want to face the world. So you want this to last for another 6 hours because you just don't want to face what's outside, because you don't know what's out there. But you say, well, God is in here. Do you? Let me tell you something. It's going to make you uncomfortable. Just as much as God is in here, the devil is too. Oh, you didn't know that? Wherever Jesus is, there's always a demon lurking. Always. Whether that be your mind, whether that be some sickness, or something is trying to distract you and to keep you. Some of the devil that you're dealing with right now is called Instagram. While I'm preaching, you missing likes and you missing stories. Oh, don't y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about. And you feel like you're missing the world because somebody else's life can't be viewed right now. And as soon as church is over, it's called distraction. We live in an era, unfortunately, when I was growing up, we didn't have phones in church. We did have phones, but it was called the secretary's phone. You had to go out to church. Coach, hey, we had to go out the office. And you're like, Mama, church is almost over. And then you went back in. Praise the Lord. But now, we can't even have authentic moments anymore in church. Because as soon as there's a praise break, we're not even present. We're looking and viewing and trying to capture God through somebody else's lens. How can you capture God through a phone? And I know I'm messing with all of y'all. I'm socially media savvy too. But when the presence of the Lord is in the room, this does not matter. He can't heal me if I need something, but I'm looking. Oh, Lord, y'all not coming back to church next week. But we have to learn how to be present in the moment. I was at something last night. I was at, and it's a shameless plug, it's the Selma musical. It was wonderful. And the whole time it was very difficult for me because while I was watching it, I decided not to have my phone. I decided to put my phone in my pocket. Now, let me tell you something. Those people were singing. Woo! I would love to see it again. But I realized, I was thinking to myself, should I be in Broadway? You can't record Hamilton. You have to learn how to practice for where you plan to go.
Come on now.
We try to bring God down to our level. But God is to be respected always and in all times. And you can't always capture everything. I was with Anita Baker. I went with her, but I was in the room with her. So I felt like I was with her. And she was singing. Woo, she was singing. Blessed Assurance, she was singing. She was singing, and I decided to put my phone down. Because who can capture the essence of Anita Baker? The phone could not capture it. The phone couldn't handle her effervescence. The phone couldn't handle her legendary artistry. The phone couldn't handle it. I had to put it down and said, Anita, sing to me. She was like, I apologize. And I'm saying for some of you, you can't go out and you can't do what God has you to do because you have FOMO. Those of you all know what FOMO is. FOMO is fear of missing out. You feel like if I get plugged into God, I might miss something. You're going to have to learn how to miss things and to come back and say, I needed God for a moment. I had to unplug so I could get with him. Someone said, I got to have him. All right, let me go on because y'all can't handle that. So he went out not knowing where he was going. And this is where it gets a little bit deeper. I'm glad we shouted. This is where it got deeper. You know what his issue was and what was hard for him, what was hard for many of you? Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 1 says, now the Lord said to Abram, he said, go from your country and your kindred, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Uh-huh. All right. You know what we struggle with, and this is how we're supposed to really be able to walk it out. You're going to have to learn how to deal with your kinship. Come on. Kinship are people you kin to. Blood related people. He told him, I want you to get away from your kin, get away from your family, and I want you to go into a land that I will show you. We struggle with that, many of us, because when you talk about kin, according to that time and according to historians, according to the culture of that time, you were identified by the family. Where you went, your culture and your set of goals and certain things that you did were established by your family dynamics. So you're telling Abraham to leave everything that he knows to get into a land that God will show him. I wrote down this for you to be able to practice this. Don't let blood ties keep you from bold moves. Love your family. Love what God has called you to be connected to and kin to. It's wonderful and it's great. But if your family dynamics, or if some of the things that you were birthed into are keeping you from a spiritual dynamic, you're going to have to learn how to make some real choice decisions. I'm not talking about disrespecting your family. And that's what some of us do. I've made Jesus my choice. You're going to have to respect me. No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being able to say, I won't put you above him. I can't put my family, I cannot put my parenting or whatever above my relationship with Christ. If you really want to be a good parent, you got to have a good relationship with God. If you want to be a good husband or a good wife, or if you want to be a good spouse or whatever, you want to have a great relationship with God. How do I know this? Even as men, the Bible says, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. And if you don't know how Christ loved the church, you don't know how to love your wife. Christ gave himself. That means that he lived a sacrificial life. When is the last time you sacrificed for someone other than yourself? Is this heavy? Come on, Mama Judy, it's heavy. And that's what he's saying. He says, I'm telling you to leave your kindred, leave your family. I'm not talking about you won't be able to call them sometimes. I'm not saying you won't be able to visit them. But I'm saying that is familiar. And sometimes what is familiar is what's keeping you from that which is kingdom. Because it's so predictable. You know how certain people are. You know how certain family dynamics are. And because you know how it is, you don't even expect anything different than that. You know what triggers are in your family. You know what different things are going on. And he told him, he said, I want you to leave that. He said, because I want to call you to something else. I have something I want to call you for. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 19. I don't know if I give y'all good. Luke 18 and 19. It's not in your thing, but the Lord gave me this morning. If many of us have so deified Jesus that we forget that he was also a man or a person. Jesus dealt with the same thing. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 19, then Jesus, his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. When they went to Jesus, they said, hey, Jesus, I know you're teaching right now. He said, but your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. You know what Jesus responded? Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Can you imagine the disciples going back to Jesus' mother? What's Sister Mary? I delivered the message that Jesus, that you wanted me to give to your son, Jesus. She's like, and what did he say? Because I imagine, you know, she was ethnic. So Mary was like, what did he say? Because, you know, y'all got that. When you ready, you're like, it's a stance. He said, what did he say? He said, well, what had happened was Jesus was teaching. And he's really excited that y'all are here to see him. And when can we? Well, what he said was, he said, my mother and my brothers are. She said, yes, us. He said, no. He said, they are those who hear the word of God and do it. Nice to see you. And he walked away. Because you don't wait for the reaction sometimes of the woman. You just leave. So can you imagine the tension that could have been happening in his family for the mother and the brothers to then say, what, we don't hear the word and do it? Jesus was trying to say, there are no perks in the kingdom. This is not a family insurance plan. You just don't get in because of who you know, who you're connected to. You're going to have to make a decision yourself. You don't get in because you know grandmama's God. Do you know him for yourself? Jesus said, you can't get in just because you raised me.
That's right.
You don't get in just because you spanked me. That's not how this thing works. He said, if you really want to be a part of me, you're going to have to make a decision to follow this word and to grow in this word. And for some of y'all going to have to make some distinctions even with your family and with your friends to be able to say, you might have known me in one season, but in this season, you might not know me like you used to know me because there's something different about me. And I'm going to have to learn how to deal because people think they know you, they'll keep you where you were. And you have to say, I was that, but I'm not that anymore. And even though sometimes it rises up in me, I'm still not what I do. It's taken a minute for it to get out of my system. But I did make a decision that I will not be what I used to be. And I have decided to make Jesus my choice. Someone just say, I made a decision. Someone say, I made a decision. All right, the next thing, Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 9, he says, by faith, he went to a land in the land of promise. He says, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him with the same promise. If you are going to grow in an area that you've never been before, this word right here, your plan is going to have to include discipleship.
Wow. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Kinship is one thing as far as family. But discipleship, why is this important? Because in verse 2 of Genesis 12 chapter, verse 2 says, he said, hear this, and I'm just teaching. This is not shouting anymore. We already took care of that. He says, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Why isn't discipleship important? Discipleship means I have to be a student of something. I have to learn. So if he said right here, Matt, I will make you a great nation. Nation means there's more than Lexington involved. So if my mind is local, have to have someone to teach me how to be nation-minded. Tomorrow, I'll be in Israel. I don't know the streets of Israel. I've read about them, but I have never stepped foot in them. So we have to have what is called a tour guide, so that I don't wind up in the car with a stranger and wind up not coming back. Because I love my life, I'm going to follow the instructions of a tour guide. And to be able to submit myself under the tutelage of somebody who knows the territory that I don't know. It's called discipleship. And for some of you, you love salvation, but you don't love teaching. It's great to shout. It's great to move. It's great to sweat. It's great to do all that stuff. It's great. But when it comes time to be taught how to walk this thing out, how is your follow through? Are you a disciple? And from the word disciple comes the root word discipline. How disciplined is your spiritual life? If you say, I made a decision, I don't want to cuss anymore, do you have somebody in your circle who can teach you how to change your words to start using other things? Amen. Or is everybody in your circle kin to you? I'm teaching. Is everybody in your circle, if you struggle with depression, is everybody kin to you depressed? Do you have a teacher around you who can, if God gave you a vision of generational wealth, is everybody broke in your circle? Do you have a broker? Do you have a financial planner? Do you have somebody you don't know? Do you have somebody? If God has called you to a nation and all you know is Lexington, all you know is Detroit, all you know is Flint, all you know is Knoxville, and all you know is Berea, where y'all at? All y'all know is Chicago, all you know is the hood, all you know is the suburban. If that's all you know, and God has given you a nation, nation means bigger than you. Let me ask you a question. If God answered all your problems right now with wealth, would you even know what to do with it? You say you would. Oh, yeah. And I ask you, what's your plan? I got one. I mean, after you get through paying your bills and after you get through getting out of debt, what next? How long will it take for you to get back in debt? Because we say we have a vision, but if you don't have a teacher to steward your vision, I had to learn this as myself, transparent. I am a great visionary. That's what God has given me. No, it's not arrogant. I just know it's what I am. I'm a great visionary, but I'm not always good with execution. My pastor ain't good? No, no. I can give you vision for days. Or I can plan out the next 5 years if you let me. You give me, I tell you, I can start talking about who we're going to bring in and what we're going to do. We're going to have a tent revival meeting outside and Bishop Jake's going to come. We're going to get ready. We're going to get ready. I can tell you all that stuff. But if you ask me how, well, I don't know. Somebody asked me the other day, and what happens is when God starts training you for nations, people who are kin to you have an issue. Let me tell you a real conversation I had the other day. It's just on podcast. Ain't nobody listening. No, I'm just playing. But listen, the other day, someone had sent me a message on my Instagram. You know my DM be popping. So somebody sent me a message. Somebody sent me a message on Instagram. And it was trying to book for something or whatever. Shout out to Jermaine. He let me read to the children, all these different things. Anyhow, so somebody sent me a message and they on Instagram and they got a response. Then they sent me a message to my Facebook, my personal Facebook page. And they said, that response was weird. Why did you sound like that? And I said, where? They said, I sent you a message on Instagram. I said, oh, I don't run my Instagram page. They said, oh. Big time. I said, no. I can keep up. I cannot be fully present as a father, fully present as a husband, fully present as a pastor, fully present as an event planner at Kentucky State, fully present as a choir director, and respond to everybody's message. I don't have time. I can't do it. It's not being big time. It's called being disciple. If I'm going to, if the church is going to, if we're going to be multi-ethnic and multi-dimensional and multiracial, and we're going to be able to go generational, we're going to be able to do these things, we have to have infrastructure in place, or we're just going to be a good church on Sundays and fall apart Monday through Saturdays. That's what happens all the time. We have good plans, and we do, but we don't execute well. So we need somebody to do small groups. We need somebody to do the teams. We need somebody over finances. We need somebody over the worship. We need somebody. So when I get here, I'm not trying to play the keyboard and do the social media and do the camera and do the lights and food my water. Somebody's got to learn how to execute. It's called discipleship. And if you don't know how to do it, get you somebody around you who can. Now, for some of you who say, I wish I had somebody who could do my Instagram, pay them. You can find them. That's how that works. Praise the Lord. It ain't. Anyhow, thank you, Jesus. So anyhow, so if you're going to be local, then don't do nothing. When I'm talking about local, I'm not talking about everybody's going to be on TV. I'm talking about our mindset. When's the last time you prayed for Israel? When's the last time you prayed for Mexico? Do you know what's going on in Cuba right now? Do you know what's going on in Florida? Do you know anything going outside of your house? Who will still be praying for Kobe's family 2 months from now? I know everybody's posting and everybody's repping and everybody's got a t-shirt and everybody's wearing 8 and everybody's wearing 24 and funeral's going to be on 2/24 and it's like, ooh, isn't that great? Oh, so, but who sold a seed to the family? Oh, they don't need nothing. You don't know. There's not a price that you can pay to bring somebody back. When you lose something, it makes you start thinking about life differently. How is your follow through and how's your disciple? Here, Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verse 3-4 says this. He says, so I went down to the potter's house, not in Dallas. He said, I went down to the potter's house and there he was working a work on the wheel. And as he was making the vessel of clay, the clay was spoiled, meaning something was wrong, excuse me, with the vessel, with the clay, in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. A part of discipleship means sometimes he's going to have to work something out of me that's not right. Amen. Come here, Brandon. Come here, sir. What's your name again? Morgan. Good to see you, Morgan. Brandon, get right here in the front. Pastor Gilm, come to the side. I am the potter. Y'all spin him for a few times. All right, I'm the potter. While the potter, those of you who know what potters do, they spin you on a wheel. And while they're spinning you, they're scraping stuff, pulling stuff off of you. What happens in the middle of this when I see something that's not formed the way I want it to be? So what I do is start spinning you again until I get everything that's supposed to be off of you off and scrape everything. And then I look again. I still don't like spin them a different way. I don't like how this is going. And there's some of y'all who you want God to take you off the wheel. Because you want him to be finished. But every time he thinks he's got malicious intent out of you, he's got to stop the process again. Because what happens is, instead of him finishing the work, you turn back and go back into the very thing he tried to get you out of. So every time he tries to finish, he's got to start all over again, because you won't stay still long enough for him to work it out of you. Because you say, this is too much work. How much work does it take to be still and to let him? Now, sometimes it hurts because he's scraping stuff off of you that you like, stuff you want to keep. But this is the part right there. He said he made a vessel that it seemed, last part, it seemed good to the potter, not good to you. There's a story of a clay. The clay, the person walked by the clay, and he looked there. He said, not the clay. He looked at this particular jar. He said, you know what? You are a wonderful piece of fine china. And when he stopped to talk, he walked away. The china turned around to him. He said, but it didn't start this way. And he looked back, he said, you gonna talk to me? He said, yes. What happened was, I started as a piece of clay. And I was in there with the potter. And while he was in there spinning me, I said, stop. And the potter said, not yet. He said, not yet. But I said, stop. I don't like it. I can't take too much. He said, I can't take more. He said, you don't know what you can handle. I know what you can handle. Not yet. And finally, he stopped. And then all of a sudden, I thought he was through. But then, come here, Rock. You're going to be right here. Get in front. You look bedazzled. He said, all of a sudden, turn around. Face towards us. Face towards him. He said, all of a sudden, he scoot back a little bit. After that, he stopped him, and then he put him in the oven. While he was in the oven, he was in the oven saying, it's hot. Get me out of here. But the potter said, not yet. And he said, it's too hot in here. He said, you don't know what you can handle. So then he opened the oven, took him out of here, and then he starts spinning him again. So he said, now you had me hot. He said, now you're spinning me again, and you're sitting here still working on me. Stop. He said, you don't know what you can have. So then he stopped me, and then all of a sudden he started to paint me, start to put the fruits of the Spirit on me. And I said, I don't like this smell. He said, stop it. You don't know what you know. You don't know what you need. You don't know what you need to smell, and you don't know what you like. You need patience. You need long suffering. You need kindness because you're bitter and angry. You don't know how to submit. So I need to teach you some things, and I need to put it on you so that you can be made into my image. And you sitting here getting mad at me because I'm painting on you. If you could paint on yourself, you could paint it yourself. But you don't know what I'm trying to design in you, and you don't know what I'm trying to make in you. So I've got to paint on you because I see more in you than you see in yourself. I see more in you than you even know there is inside of you. And you don't like the process, but you're going to learn how to be still. And then all of a sudden I get through, he's almost going to paint, and I put him back in the oven again. Because what I put on you, I gotta make sure it stays. And you won't know if it stays until you get back in the fire. And there are some of you who you love church, but you don't love the fire. So he's back in the fire again, and this time it seems hotter, and he's saying, get me out of the fire. Say, get me out.
Get me out.
He wants to get out the fire, but God, the potter looks back and says, not yet. Because you don't know what's good for you. So after that, he takes him back out of it. This time he sees that he painted him, but he forgot to scrape some stuff off of him. So he's got new paint, got a new look, but some of the old stuff is still on him. So he's taking some of the old stuff off, and this time he takes it off, and this time it hurts because he's got a new look, but still attached to old stuff. And some of you got new looks, but you're still attached to old stuff. So he's got to scrape stuff off of you because you say you moved from your old house and you moved from your old friends and you got a new life, but you still got some old stuff on you, so you got to scrape off. So he scraped it off, and this time he said he couldn't handle it, but he said, you don't know what you need. So this time he passed out in the midst of it because they put him back in the fire. And this time in the fire, he passed out because it was too much for him. You don't have to fall on the floor. He passed out. He said, now y'all can go away. He says, now, you can go away, thank you. He said, this time, when he opened his eyes, he was now in this particular cabinet. He said, I don't even know how I got here. He said, but I looked in the mirror, and I saw I looked better than what I used to look like. And the person who was admiring him said, he said, that's a great story. He said, but I got one question. How did he know when the process was finished? He said, oh, that's a good question. He said, when the potter could see his image in me. When you've been discipled correctly, Jesus can look at you and see himself in you.
Amen.
How much of Jesus is in you? Or are you still complaining about how hot it is? I feel color purple every time he does that. Thank you. Clap your hands for the vessel, for the potter. There's an old adage that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When you're ready to learn, the teacher will show up. But if you haven't gotten to the place that you're ready, it's because this is why the teacher can't show up. Hebrews 11 chapter verse 10 says, for he was looking forward to a city, I hope this is helping you, looking forward to a city that had a foundation whose designer and builder is God. The last thing is this, if you were going to be able to stick to the plan, the last part of the plan is internship. Kinship, who I'm kin to, discipleship, who I'm learning from, internship is who actually trains me for where I'm going. Now, this is the part that kind of messes all of us up. And like I said, I wasn't going to say it, but I got to say it. What issue that we all have, for those, how many college people in the room? All the college students, raise your hand, half the church. You know what our issue is? When we look for internship, we look for paid internships. I can't be an intern without the coins. I got, don't play yet. I got to be paid. I got to have something. Do you know, internship doesn't always come with the money. And I lost half of you, because what would you do if you weren't paid? Internship means I'm going to be able to get the experience that is needed for where I'm going. Abraham said, I'm looking for a building. Go to that scripture. Take me back to that scripture real quick. He said, I'm looking for a foundation. I'm looking for a city whose foundation and designer and builder is God. So that means I've got to learn how God builds. I've got to learn how God designs. And if I'm going to learn how he designs and how he builds, that means I've got to have an internship. And he may not pay me for this. Oh, church, I'm so sorry to disappoint you that all learning experiences don't come with a check. I thought y'all knew. I'm so sorry that nobody told you that. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry, musicians. I apologize. Sometimes you have to play and not get paid. I'm sorry you didn't know that. I understand. Sometimes you have to preach and they won't give you a check. I'm sorry y'all didn't know that. Sometimes you have to pray for somebody and you need prayer yourself. Sometimes your family will be suffering while you minister to somebody else's family. I'm sorry y'all didn't understand that. See, when I was growing up as a musician, I paid for free for years. There's a word. It wasn't called a gig back then. Mama, it's a ministry. That's a word they don't know these days. It was called ministry. You know that word? It wasn't a gig. It wasn't how much y'all gonna pay me. It was who am I ministering to? It was internship. Because before I had a title of worship leader, I was already one. And I'm not saying you're not supposed to be paid. Don't think the church is like, oh, they're going to cut my check. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying how much of your talent is based on money? That's right. Money only. It's only a gig. And I lost this generation and many of us right now. Everything has to be payment. When are you going to show me the money? And I want to know, when are you going to show me your heart? I want to know what you'll do without a title. Kareen and I were texting this morning about something that we're trying to work on, and I was telling her we need to do some training in this different area, and I mentioned somebody's name, and she said, well, they're a minister. I said, no, they're not. She said, but they always work like a minister. I said, you don't have to be a minister just because of a title. I got to a point in my life where I got tired of laying hands on people. All they wanted was a photo op. You want a photo op in oil. Stop wasting the oil. Just trying to get there, put a collar on just because you want to look anointed. You are annoying. Because if you're a minister, why have you never been to the prison? If you're a minister, why don't you show up to the hospital? If you're a minister, why can't you counsel nobody? If you're a minister, why are you depressed all the time? If you're a minister, why don't you tithe? If you're a minister, why don't you show up for Bible study? If you're a minister, why don't you give offering? If you're a minister, why can't you serve the children? If you're a minister, why can't you be in the parking lot? If you're a minister, why can't you do good work of the ministry? I feel like walking around the whole church. You can't be a minister for a title and for a little certificate. That's all you want? It's a certificate on your wall? And to celebrate the memories every year? It's 1 year since I've been a minister. And you ain't preached nowhere. Matter of fact, the church likes to hear you more than your own family. So that means you're not really a minister. You are hireling. Because if you're really a minister, then you first minister in your house. And what I do in my house flows out to church. I don't preach like this just because it's Sunday. You better ask somebody. When it comes time in my house and there's something going on, I will pray. I tell Mel, this is the word. I tell Miles, this is the word. I tell Darius, this is the word. I tell Tori, this is the word. Now, they do what they want with it, but I am not a pastor just because it's Sunday. This is my call. This is who I am. This is what I call. What did Joshua say as far as me and my house? We will serve the Lord. I'm sorry. Who are you when the cameras ain't on? That's what Abraham said. He said, I'm an intern. Teach me what you want me to know. Why is this important, April? Because he said, God said, I'm going to make you, I'm going to take you to many nations. But he said, I have to learn how to do this because later on, Abraham is going to be called the father of nations. You can't father something you don't know. Stop calling yourself spiritual mother and spiritual father and you 22. Girl, sit yourself down. You don't know nothing about no spiritual mother. Just because you taught somebody how to speak in tongues and go ta-ta-ba-ba-ba-she does not mean that you somebody's spiritual mother. How you gonna be a spiritual mother in your private home? Excuse me, that can't work. I gotta make sure. I'm sorry, it's time for me to go to Israel. I'm saying. I can't intern you or teach you something I don't know. Someone told me a few weeks ago, my time is up, told me a few weeks ago that a lot of the homosexual community in Lexington cannot stand me. I said, do say. I had no clue. I didn't know I was being talked about at the drag houses. I had no idea. And I said, why? They said, because they don't like your honesty. I said, oh, who me? What have I ever done to offend them? I've never been to the strip clubs. I've never bent over for no one. What have I done? And they said, they don't like the fact, they don't like the fact that you're honest and they can't find nothing on you. They said, because some of the other preachers that made the same testimony, we see them often. And we keep wondering why they ain't never seen you. And I said, well, you tell them that I don't say anything I don't mean. And when I said I was delivered, that's what I meant. Tell them they can find me on 3724 Appian Way, Lexington, Kentucky, 40517. And I will tell them the same thing that whom the Son sets free. It's free indeed. I ain't no shake and bake. I ain't somebody who's just trying to do up some political campaign. I mean this thing. When God delivers you, he sets you free. If you don't like that, baby, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, you don't like me? He called me to the nations. He called me to go beyond. I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about I'm trying to start a national movement. I'm talking about before he formed me in my mother's womb. He had already ordained me a prophet to the nations. So if he's called me to that, I gotta learn how to be that. And if that offends people along the way, so be it. You will offend somebody. Somebody will not like you. And sometimes they won't like you just because you are what you say you are. It's not that you did anything wrong. You did something right. And the people who wanted your demise don't like it. It scares me, Sterling, to think of what I had become, what I would have become, if it weren't for his grace.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at My Growth Point. Until next time, keep growing.